Today, just don't look down. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. And this is my weekly market update. Well, US stocks actually struck new highs for the year on Friday and helped lift world stocks to a 13-month peak as rising bets that the Federal Reserve will skip a rate hike next week overshadowed worries about US markets being drained of cash. And surging enthusiasm for technology giants building consumer products based on artificial intelligence catapulted the US benchmark S&P 500 into a technical bull market on Thursday. And on Friday, the blue chip bellwether index was up more than 20% from its lows and at its highest level since August last year, with the tech-heavy NASDAQ index chasing seven straight weeks of gains to soar 27.4% year-to-date. As of today, the S&P 500 is back in a bull market, said Arthur Hogan, chief market strategist at Briley Wealth, noting that the index finished Thursday with a 20% gain off its recent lows. The one thing that could tip over the apple cart is an over-aggressive Fed. It's maybe the most hated bull market in the history of bull markets, said Tim Holland, chief investment officer investment platform Orion OCIO. Sentiment was terribly depressed going into the year end and still remains on the bearish side. And just remember how narrowly based this surge is as hot money seeks a home in an uncertain world. Because, of course, the heavyweight technology darlings, including Google parent Alphabet, Microsoft, Nvidia, Adobe, and Facebook-owned Meta, have all jumped as investors bet the companies can build more valuable products using AI. There's a sudden realization that there's a once-in-a-generation event that is really transforming a lot of industries at a rapid pace, and that's artificial intelligence, said Monica Kutcher, the chief investment officer at InSync Funds Management in Sydney. AI has really taken off, and there are lots of businesses now with a long growth runway for sales and profitability, and the companies best positioned are predominantly in the US. The fund manager said investors could play the AI boom by either investing in the dominant cloud and consumer-facing tech giants developing AI-assisted products such as Amazon, Google, Meta, and Microsoft, or by taking a picks and shovels approach and buying companies servicing the industry's growth. The cloud providers will be massive beneficiaries of all this, and it will accelerate, he says. We own Microsoft, and we think Meta is incredibly well positioned to benefit. Adobe is another one. They're the creative content kings, and AI has made them much more important because you need trusted content. And there's a bunch of companies out there incredibly well positioned, and I think that's why it's taken off. And according to Mr. Kutcher, many institutional and retail investors who were negative on equities at the start of the year because of rising yields on risk-free assets such as cash have been wrong-footed by this surge in the US share market. Investors are still underweight equities and sentiment is negative, but they've seen what's happening with AI and they're clamoring to get back into the market, he says. The US market has demonstrated that it is the best companies to benefit from that surge in AI and other trends that are coming through. Next week, of course, traders will focus on the US Federal Reserve's monetary policy meeting on June the 14th, and traders see a 72% chance of the US central bank holding interest rates at the current 5 to 5.25% range. US consumer price index inflation data is due out the day before, and that'll be critical too. Because, of course, the US will release the May Consumer Price Index figures on Tuesday, and investors expect the annual inflation rate to decrease around 4.2%, while the core rate will be increasing to 5.6%. Both events have the potential to trigger US dollar swings. Bets for a pause are supported by data from last Thursday, which showed that the number of Americans filing new jobless claims surged to a more than 1.5-year high, indicating a loosening labour market that could further quell inflation. Investors have taken this as signs of weakness in the US labor market as boosting the chances of the Federal Reserve skipping the rate hike next week, lessening the monetary policy pressure on the US economy. And investors also hope the Fed will pause its rate rise campaign as a quirk of the US debt ceiling negotiations have posed a potential threat to market liquidity. And here's the thing, the US government is expected to rush to sell short-term debt to replenish its Treasury General Account, the TGA, potentially at yields so high that banks raise deposit rates to compete for funding, reducing interest in riskier assets like equities. We're all worrying about liquidity, said Ben Jones, director of macro research at Invesco. The Fed, he added, still wants to tighten policy and therefore may allow the TGA rebuild to drain liquidity from the market without stepping in to provide other support tools. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said on May the 19th that it was still unclear whether US interest rates will need to rise further and the risks of over-tightening or under-tightening have become more balanced. The overall tone of the market is based on the idea that the Fed will pause its increases, said Rick Meckler, partner at Trailane Investments. As it pauses, the broader market will start to rally and maybe catch up with the large cap tech stocks that have led the way up, at least until now. Two-year Treasury yields, which are extremely sensitive to monetary policy expectations, rose to 4.609%, while the yield on benchmark 10-year notes climbed to 3.744%. And the US dollar index, which measures the performance of the US currency against six others, rebounded 0.21% to 103.55. So the S&P 500 gained 0.11% to 4,298. Taking this week's advance to 0.38% and extending its winning streak for 4 weeks. That's the longest since July-August 2022. The Nasdaq Composite notched its seventh straight week of gains, up 0.16% to 13,259 and 0.13% over the week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.13% to 33,876 and that gave a weekly gain of 0.33%. Now looking at individual shares, Tesla climbed 4.06%, clinching their longest winning streak since January 2021 after General Motors agreed to use the company's supercharger network. GM shares also rose up 1.06%. Shares in technology companies including Apple, Advanced Micro Devices and Nvidia all rose somewhere between 0.22% and 3.2% after retreating earlier in the week. And Target Corp slipped 3.26% after Citi downgraded the big box retailer to neutral, saying sales could fall further this year due to economic challenges. And Adobe rose 3.41% after Wells Fargo upgraded it to overweight, saying the Photoshop software maker was poised to benefit from the generative AI boom. Netflix gained 2.6% following a report that the streaming giant subscriptions jumped after its crackdown on password sharing. And over in Europe, the Stoxx 600 index lost 0.15% on Friday as European stock markets slipped lower with signs that the Chinese economy is struggling to recover from the impact of the COVID pandemic, and that overshadowed the positive sentiment generated from the rally on Wall Street. The DAX in Germany ultimately traded down 0.25%. The CAC 400 fell 0.12%, while the FTSE 100 traded down 0.15%. European stocks sold off on Friday after the data released earlier in the session showed that Chinese consumer inflation contracted in May from the prior month, while factory gate inflation sank at its fastest pace in 7 years. This week, inflation data raised further questions over a slowing economic recovery in the country, the major growth driver, of course, for the region, as well as a vital export market for many of Europe's senior companies. The euro slipped 0.32% to $1.0749. And that's just below Tuesday's two-week high of 1.0787. Additionally, the European Central Bank is widely expected to increase interest rates next week, with a quarter point increase fully priced in for Thursday. The only real uncertainty is when the following quarter point increase will come in. In other words, will they also take the summer off to reevaluate or do it next month? The ECB President Christine Lagarde said on Monday that it was too early to call a peak in core inflation, and a clear majority of economists polled by Reuters expects another hike of 25 basis points in July. Most Asian stocks advanced on Friday as weak US labor data ramped up bets on a pause in the Federal Reserve's rate hike cycle, although disappointing inflation readings from China capped broader gains. Technology-heavy indices such as South Korea's KOSPI and the Taiwan-weighted index rose 0.9% each on Friday. Japan's Nikkei 225 and the TOPIX were the best performers of the day, up 1.7% and 1.3% respectively, and also moved back towards 33-year peaks that were hit earlier in the week. Positive economic readings from the country, chiefly an upward revision in first-quarter GDP, also helped sentiment towards local stocks. Gains in major tech stocks also kept Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index in positive territory. Risky returns-focused growth stocks tend to benefit from the prospect of fewer interest rate hikes, given that higher rates tend to weigh on their future returns. Sentiment towards tech stocks were also buoyed by a rush into artificial intelligence-exposed stocks amid forecasts that the space will increase substantially in value this year. Chinese search engine giant Baidu, which has its own AI tool in development, rose 1.2%, while Japanese semiconductor testing equipment maker Amtest Corp added 1.1%. Chinese stocks, though, held back amid weak inflation and on stimulus bets. Chinese stock indices largely lagged their Asian peers, therefore, on Friday, with the Shanghai Composite just up 0.55%. The readings pointed to more weakness in China's biggest economic engines and came after a string of other weak indicators over the past 2 weeks, fueling more concerns about a Chinese economic recovery this year. Chinese stocks have also largely wiped out all their gains this year as sentiment over the recovery-driven rally soured. But further losses on local stocks were somewhat limited by bets that the Chinese government will roll out more stimulus measures this year to support growth. Anticipation of more interest rate cuts in the country grew after several major state-run banks cut rates on yuan deposits this week. Again, oil prices fell on Friday after the dismal inflation data from China raised fears that slowing economic growth in the world's largest crude importer would hit demand growth this year. And patience, patience, the Saudi oil minister must be telling himself, because whilst OPEC's top brain did his best to get a barrel nearer to $80 or above, crude prices finished Friday's trading even lower than before last weekend's meeting of the world's biggest oil producers, where Saudi Arabia again tried to surprise the market with a production cut. And that surprise is inverted commas, because many market watchers actually appeared to know that they were going to announce a unilateral output cut if there was no willingness by the rest to put one on. And the million barrel cut that they tried cutely to label as a Saudi lollipop couldn't sustain its sweetness beyond a couple of days. After a fleeting pop of nearly 3% on Sunday and another 1% rebound on Wednesday, crude prices have fallen most of this week. The downside was distorted partly by a false report from the Middle East news portal on Thursday about a US-Iran nuclear deal that could legitimately channel some sanctioned oil from Tehran to the market. So New York traded West Texas Intermediate, or WTI, crude, settled Friday's trade at $70.33 a barrel. That's down 1.32% on the day. It peaked at $74.31 during the week before plunging to $69.09. The US crude benchmark wrapped the week with a loss of around 2.2%, adding to the prior week's drop of 1.3%. And London traded Brent crude officially finished Friday's New York session at around $74.97, down 1.21%. On the day, and Brent's high for the week was $78.23, while the low was $73.61. Like WTI, the global crude benchmark finished down for a second straight week with a 1.8% decline that came on top of last week's drop of 1.1%. It's been a volatile week for oil prices, starting with the spike on the back of Saudi Arabia's 1 million barrel production cut, and ending with the US and Iran denying a temporary nuclear deal that saw prices plunge on Thursday, said Craig Ellum, analyst at online trading platform Onya. These are very jittery markets against the backdrop of a deteriorating economic outlook. And Ellum also noted that the Saudi production cut had little impact on the eventual price of oil. Gold prices pulled back slightly on Friday, but posted the second weekly gain in a row as expectations that the Federal Reserve will pause interest rates continue to take a toll on the US dollar. It was last at $1,935.90, down 0.14%. Now, turning to Australia, the S&P ASX 200 finished Friday up 0.3% to 7,122.5 points, and that's a fall of 0.3% across the week. So far this year, it has climbed by just 2.5% versus the S&P 500's 12% jump. Local shares had lurched lower on Tuesday after the Reserve Bank lifted interest rates by 0.25%, and Governor Philip Lowe warned that inflation was still too high, with the potential for more increases in coming months to get inflation within its 2 to 3% target band. Dr. Lowe's hawkish comments and weaker than expected Australian gross domestic product growth of 0.2% for the June quarter prompted CBA to warn on Friday of a 50% chance of a recession in 2023. The gloom around an economic downturn extended to retail stocks, which sold off as investors dumped businesses considered vulnerable to consumers cutting back on spending as living costs such as rents and energy bills rise. The S&P ASX 200 Consumer Discretionary Index has now tumbled 7.2% since May the 2nd, when the RBA lifted rates from 3.6 to 3.85%, and while energy and banks are down 0.3% and 7.7% respectively in 2023. Last year, banks, resources and energy stocks were seen as beneficiaries of an inflationary environment, and that's reversed more than a little. The countries most exposed to those sectors are, like Australia, are coming under pressure. CBA tips one further interest rate increase in August to take the cash rate to peak at 4.35% and calls for the central bank to offer investors and homeowners relief by cutting rates by a total of 1.5% in 2024. We believe policy easing will be required of this magnitude over 2024 to avoid the unemployment rate lifting back to 5%, said Head of Australian Economics Gareth Aird. And elsewhere, Westpac expects a 0.25% cash rate increase in July, with cash rate futures pricing in a 21.8% of an interest rate increase next month. The Australian share market finished higher for the last trading session of the week, taking a positive lead from Wall Street overnight. The benchmark rose 0.3% to 7,122.5 at the market close, buoyed by a rally in technology and mining stocks. The index fell for a third consecutive week, though, down 0.3%. Five out of 11 sectors finished in the green, with technology stocks recording the most gains. Among local players, WiseTech shares jumped 2.6% to $75.88. Xero gained 2.7% to $109.08. Altium rose 1.4% to $37.32. And Weebit Nano climbed 2% to $6.67. And Codan added 3.2% to $7.66. The major miners rallied as iron ore futures traded higher during the late afternoon on the Singapore Exchange, up 0.7% to $113.75 a tonne on the June contract. BHP shares climbed 1.3% to $44.72. Fortescue Metals firmed 1.4% to $20.79. Elsewhere, consumer discretionary stocks firmed, with IDP Education among the best performers. That rallied 3% to $23.76. Aristocrat Leisure rose 1.5% to $38.07 a share. And Lottery Corporate added 1.4% to $5.01. And Wes Farmers edged up 0.3% to $47.58. The energy sector was the worst performing sector, though. It comes as oil headed for a second weekly drop. Whitehaven Coal shares dropped 1.2% to $6.40. Santos shed 0.7% to $7.39. Woodside Energy fell 0.2% to $34.73. And Strike Energy lost 3.2% to 46 cents. Suncorp rose 0.9% to $13.12 on Friday as the country's sixth largest bank dismissed Bendigo Bank's insistence that it could be a future merger partner as it seeks approval from the competition regulator for ANZ to take over the company. The major banks finished mixed, with ANZ shares up 0.8% to $20.85. Commonwealth Bank fell 0.1% to $95.80. Westpac firmed 0.3% to $20.25. And National Australia Bank ended up 0.2% at $25.20, while Macquarie was up 0.84% to $172.10. Now, the crypto scene benefited from the news and took a slight boost upwards, with Bitcoin reclaiming the $27,000 territory towards the end of last week. The gains in crypto were, however, very short-lived, as the regulatory tension between Binance, Coinbase and the SEC intensified. The SEC, of course, is at it again, Back in February, it was Operation Choke Point 2.0. This time, the regulator is targeting major crypto exchanges offering services in the US, specifically Binance and Coinbase. So as a result, the leading crypto asset, Bitcoin, dropped by more than 3% to around 25,664, after crypto exchange Binance said that it was suspending dollar deposits and would soon pause fiat currency withdrawal channels following a US Securities and Exchange Commission crackdown. On Monday, the SEC filed a lawsuit against Binance and its CEO with the accusation of running a web of deception. According to documents filed in the federal court in DC, Binance and CZ are facing 13 charges, including operating an unregistered exchange, commingling funds, and the sale of unregistered securities. And amid the SEC's investigation into Binance, it has been revealed that Binance US, the company's US subsidiary, has generated significant revenue and profit. According to SEC filings based on information provided by Binance, Binance US has amassed about $410 million in revenue and achieved a gross profit of $225 million since its launch. The majority of its revenue, amounting to $265 million, was generated in 2021, followed by $95 million in 2022. And Coinbase also found itself in the crosshairs a day after Binance was sued. The US domiciled exchange has been accused of offering unregistered securities, and the SEC listed 13 crypto assets in relation to the suit, including bigger names such as Polygon, Cardano, and Solana. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong also expressed their intention to challenge the SEC to provide clear guidance on regulatory frameworks for cryptocurrencies. And Binance was likewise seen to be in a call to arms and made statements through its lawyers that SEC Chairman Gary Gensler offered to take up an advisory role at Binance's parent company back in 2019. On the brighter side, these latest developments have only had a small impact on Bitcoin's price so far, which could signal sellers being exhausted here and that the market are becoming more and more resilient. It's bad news, but we will see. And finally, the Reserve Bank of Australia released its submission for a digital assets bill inquiry focusing on the regulation of crypto exchanges, custody services, and stablecoin issuance. While acknowledging the potential of stablecoins, the submission emphasized the need for a strong regulatory framework, and the submission also mentioned the Reserve Bank's engagement in research on central bank digital currencies, although it did not confirm any decision on implementing a digital Australian dollar. So the takeout from this review is simply this. Markets are driven higher by the AI-related story, but it's very narrowly based. More broadly, there are cracks appearing pretty much everywhere you look. And of course, the risk of recession is building. So next week becomes important because the Federal Reserve may follow the Bank of Canada and the RBA and lift rates, or may not. And the question, of course, more broadly is, where are we going from here? Well, there seem to be more downside risks than upside at the moment. And frankly, the market's lifts to new heights this year are really driven off a very narrow and enthusiastic burst in the AI sector. But as I discussed with Damian Klassen earlier in the week, the question is, who's going to make the money and when will the money flow? So, plenty of risks around, plenty of time to just watch carefully what's going on. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.